Good morning, welcome to all those that are with us. We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos. We hope possibly to conclude this major halacha, Hilchos Rosh Hashanah Halacha Vav, with all of its appendixes today, Mitzvashem. Today is the 10th day of Sivan. We dedicate the Shir today to the yard site of the father of a close friend, Rabbi Shlomo Goldman, Rabbi Yitzchak Chaim, Rabbi Shlomo Alevi. We started paragraph Hey in the previous year. Let's just start from the beginning of Hey to get a running start. V'ze b'chinas harbo minim shemitzvosom rak biyodayim. Rav Nosson Zal is still in the process of explaining the story of the sixth day of the seven betlers related to chapter 12 in the second half of Likutei Moran, Aye Mekoyim Kevoidoi. And Rav Nosson Zal says that the Dalet Minim, which we take on Sukkos, Shemitzvosom Rak Biyodayim, the mitzvah is holding it in your hands, specifically, Kama Shekosuv, Ulekachtem Lochem Bayoim Horishon, you will take for yourselves on the first day. Kedei Laham Shecholeinu Koyach HaYodayim. We're doing this in order to draw upon ourselves the power of the hands, coming from that Betler who had extraordinary power in his hands. Because it's by shaking the lulav in all the different directions, that's what helps us extract and remove the arrows, the poisonous arrows that have been shot into the princess. And now Rav Nosson Zal addresses each one of the Dalet Minim, showing how it corresponds to one of the things we mentioned previously. The four species that we take on Sukkos correspond to four things we mentioned earlier. Lulav, keneged hoitzoa sachitzim. The lulav corresponds to the removing of the arrows. Arvei nachal, the arovois, the two arovois which come from a weeping willow tree, which we know the Gemara emphasizes that these trees grow near water, near a river, a swamp, something like that, generally. They're called Arvei Nachal. Nachal means a stream. Keneged Hamayim Kanal. That corresponds to the water that we spoke about in the previous Shurim here, about the water that preceded creation and all the other tikkunim related, the water castle, the 10 walls of water. Hadas, the hadasim, which are known for their smell, bechinas chius haneshama, that represents the life source of the soul. The Gemara says, koil haneshama tahal el ko, that the soul praises Hashem, specifically applies to the sense of smell, which is a soul item. Bechinas chochma. Rav Nosson Zal says this corresponds to the chachma we spoke about earlier, that Hashem created the world with chachma. Shaydeze yoidin hadoifek eich lahachyois hanefoshois haklulim bebas melech. And it's through the chachma, the knowledge that the tzaddik has, that gives him the ability to know the pulse of each and every single soul that's included in this princess and how to be able to heal the soul. Bechinas, samchuni ba'ashishus, rabduni batapuchim. This is a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, which says, support me with cakes, referring to souls that are weak, the soul when it's in a weak state, and it needs to be given support. Esroig, bechinas ikr hasimcha hamachaya basmelech, shubchinas esroig. The esroig represents the essence of happiness, which is what gives life to the princess who's been shot with these 10 arrows, these 10 types of poison, which refers specifically to depression, sadness. And Rav Nosson Zal says now, the simcha is associated with the esroig, bechinas kuloch yofo rayosi umomeinboch. The pasuk in Shir Hashirim, which is associated with esroig, says, you are completely beautiful, my beloved. You have no blemish in you. This refers to the esroig, which is supposed to be pure and without any blemish at all, without any mum in it. And again, this represents simcha, the epitome of holiness and connection to Hashem. Val yidei zeh, And through the mitzvahs of Sukkos, through the Sukkah and the Dalet Minim, Zoichen L'Sayim HaTorah, we are Zoichen at the end of Sukkos, Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, to complete the Torah with the words Ulechol HaYod HaChazaka. We mention the powerful hand. Note, that's the closing pasuk of the Torah. V'lachzor Ulahaschil Bereshis. And to go back to the beginning, start again from the beginning, which is Bereshis, Maimar Sosum, which is called the hidden statement of creation. Now note, Rav Nosson Zal doesn't mention this, but the first pasuk of Bereshis has exactly 28 letters, which are called the Chof Ches Asfon de Bereshis, the 28 letters of Bereshis, which correspond to the two hands. Yad is 14, twice Yad is 28. And we know one of the reasons why a hand is called Yad is because of the 28 parts in the fingers. Four of the fingers, the pinky and the three fingers next to it, have three parts each. 12 plus the two parts of the thumb is 14. And two times Yad, the two Yads are 28, which are represented by the 28 letters of the first pasuk in the Torah. It says, Koyach Ma'asov Higid L'Yamoy. Hashem is teaching the Jewish people about the power of his hands. Koyach is 28. Again, connected to this Betler who has the superpower in his hands. Shetzrichim b'chol pam u'befrat b'chol shono lachzor v'lalois l'shon. Because a Jew has to constantly, all the time, and especially in every year, to return and go up to that place, that Maimar Sosun, Lahamshich Mishom Torah, to draw down Torah from there. Shezeh b'chinas Yom Kippur. That's what Yom Kippur is all about. Gemar Ho'aseres Yimei Tshuva, the completion of the 10 days of Tshuva. She'oz Nitnu Haluchos Achroinos. That's when the final set of Luchos was given, Bitsina, without fanfare, without explosions and shofar and booms. Shebozeh oiskim b'chol hashana al yedei hatshuva shel aseres yimei tshuva. And we are involved in this every single year in bringing down new revelations of Torah through the tshuva of the 10 days of tshuva. Shemamshich kol echod al atzmoi kedushas hamshochas haTorah. Whereby, as a result of this tshuva, each and every Jew draws upon themselves the holiness of drawing down new Torah, the Ten Commandments. Mibchinas Aye, drawing it from the level of Aye, that Maimar Sosum, She'olo L'shom, which the person succeeded in going all the way up to there, Al Yidei HaBakosho V'Hachipus Aye, through the search for where is Hashem's Kovoy that we spoke about earlier. Shezeh Iker HaTshuva, that's one of the main tenets of tshuva, Shehischil B'Rosh Hashanah V'Nigmar B'Yom Kippur, which began on Rosh Hashanah and is completed on Yom Kippur. U'v'chol Yoyim Me'Aseres Yimei Tshuva Osku B'Zeh. And during each one of the 10 days of tshuva, we're involved in this process, which is L'Naser HaMalchus, to slice away the Malchus, to separate it from any Tumah, any Sitra Achra, Mido Achas B'chol Yoyim, one of the Midois, one of the 10 Midois of them every single day throughout the 10 days of Tshuva, Al Yidei Koyach HaTshuva Shol Rosh Hashanah Shol Iker, through the power of Tshuva of Rosh Hashanah, which is the main time, the Hagmar B'Yom Kippurim, and it's completed on Yom Kippur. Shehu Bechinas Keser Malchus. This is the concept of the crown of kingdom. Malchus, we start with Malchus on Rosh Hashanah, and we conclude with Keser on Yom Kippur. Alei Itmar, and it's about the crown of Malchus that the Pasuk says, Magid Meireshis Achris, that Hashem tells us in the beginning what's going to be at the end. In the beginning, the Maimar Sosam, the Keser, we see what the end is going to be, the Malchus. Va'oz Mamshichen Torah Mishon. And as a result of these 10 days of Tshuva and everything we're doing, we draw down Torah from all the way up there. Shaydeze Choizrin Umegalin Mibechinas Aye Daiko And through this, we're zoiche to reveal, to go back and reveal from Aye Mekoyim Kivoidoi, we're zoiche to reveal Ki Maloi Choloretz Kivoidoi, that Hashem's Kavod is everywhere. And now Rav Nosson Zalei's very important words here. V'chol ze tzrichen levayer harbe. All of this that we've been discussing in this appendix that started from 3 pages ago where he said Roshei Prokim and continuing till the end of this halacha, Rav Nosson Zal says all of this requires major explanation. And unfortunately, Rav Nosson Zal wasn't able to complete it. So what we're getting here, bullets in a sense, short blips that give us ideas, that open our mind for thought on these topics. Now this last point that Rav Nosson Zal made here is discussed very elaborately in Likutei Moran, in chapter 7, in the second half of Likutei Moran. There Rabbeinu Zal speaks about two levels, a high level and a low level. And Rabbeinu Zal there says that the people who are on a high madrega, to them, the tzaddik has to be able to show them that they're still much higher, that they're not finished, they haven't even begun compared to the greatness, how great Hashem really is. And therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says, the limud, the teaching that the tzaddik has to give to these people is the teaching of Aye Mekoyim Kevoidoi. Where is Hashem? Just like we find the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the angels, who are very close to Hashem and they're very spiritual, they, when they look up and they see how far up there is to go, they say, Aye Mekoyim Kevoidoi, where is Hashem? Implying that we don't see Hashem, we're still so far from Hashem. And at the same time, Rabbeinu Zal says there that to those people who are on a very low level, who are distant from Hashem, to them the tzaddik has to deliver a different message. He has to give them chizuk, encouragement. To them he has to deliver the message of meloi chol ha'oretz kevoidoi, that Hashem's kavod, Hashem's glory, Hashem's light fills the entire world. Oretz, oretz means artzius, even in the lowest places. Like we say, u'malchusoi bakoil mosholo, that Hashem's malchus rules over everything, even in the domain of the sitrachra, Hashem's malchus is ruling over there. So Rav Nosson Zal here touched on this for a moment at the end of this paragraph, saying that we draw down Torah, and through this Torah, which we receive from Aye, we're able to communicate also that Maloi Cholor is Kevoidoi. Because in truth, both of these, Aye and Maloi, are really one. It's all one Hashem. Hashem is one, from the top to the bottom, from Keser to Malchus. Now, in this next paragraph, Rav Nosson Zal just gives us about 7 or 8 psukim throughout Nach, the Tanakh, that speak about the arrows and the clouds that Rav Nosson Zal mentioned in the previous shir. Lo'or chitzecho yehalechu. We go to the light of your arrows. Zormu mayim avois. The clouds gather water. Koil nosnu shchokim. And the heavens give forth a sound, like the sound of the shofar. Af chatzotzecho yishalochu. And also again, we go in chatzosecho. Chatzatz means like sand or something like that. Yoshes choshech sisroi. Hashem resides. His hiddenness is dark, from the hiddenness in a sense. Svivoisov sukosoi. Surrounding Hashem is this sukkah, his sukkah. Cheshkas mayim ovei shchokim. The darkness, water of the clouds in the heavens, minoiga negdoi ovavavru, and these clouds pass before opposite Hashem, kavyochol. Another pasuk, vayishlach chitzov vayefitzem. Hashem sent his arrows and he dispersed them. Yishlach mimoroim yikocheni yimsheni mimayim rabim. Hashem sends from on high. He takes me and he removes me from massive waters. Elokai mi Temon Yovoi. Hashem will come forth from Temon. This refers to when Hashem offered the Torah to the Jewish people, that first he offered it to the other nations. Zerem Mayim Ovar. A stream of water passed. Lo'or Chitzecho Yahalechu. Mikoil Mechatzitzin Bein Mashavin. Shom Yesanu Tzidkois Hashem. Again, Rav Nosson Zal is quoting here a pasuk in Chavakuk, which refers to the clouds and the arrows and the sounds. And then Uri, Uri, Shir Daberi. The pasuk continues, wake up, give forth song. Rav Nosson Zal, unfortunately, did not go into expounding on these psukim, but he's giving us food for thought, food for research, to look into these psukim, whereby all of these psukim speak about the arrows, the clouds, the water, the different concepts that we mentioned previously. Any questions?
Rav Nosson Zal mentioned the Naser HaMalchus Mimidas Achas B'chol Yom Al Yedei Kor Ketuva. Is there any practical
Okay, sure, aspect? Sure. In other words, he's telling us, I believe what he's referring to here, this is again touching on the Kisvei Arizal, the Arizal's explanation of what's taking place on Rosh Hashanah and throughout Aseres Yimei Tshuva. We know that each one of the Sfirois is comprised of all 10 Sfirois, so that the Malchus has 10 Sfirois, 10 sections in it, the Keser, the Chochmah, the Bina, the Chesed of Malchus. And I believe the Arizal points out that during the 10 days of Sfira Soimer, we're involved on slicing and severing one of these 10 aspects of the Malchus, separating it from any Sitra Achra, and separating it also, the Arizal says, that in order for there to be the union, the main Yichud that's going to be taking place on Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, as we touched on this previously, originally, Adam and Chava were created back to back. And so too, when there's a defensive, when Kaviyochel Hashem and the Shekhinah Kedosha are in a defensive position, they're back to back. It's called Ocher Ba'ocher. And in order for there to be a Yichud, obviously, they have to be separated. That back to back has to be sliced and separated, so that they can turn around and face each other and be able to unite and be able to bear children, to bear fruit, to bear shefa. So this is a concept that's discussed over there in the Arizal about what's taking place on Rosh Hashanah and throughout the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Here, Rav Nosson Zal is touching on it, that on each one of the 10 days of Tshuva, we're doing this Nesira. We're performing this Nesira of one of the 10 Midos. I believe he's referring to one of the 10 Midos within the Malchus.
So this is something that will happen on its own while we just go through the process of Tshuva.
Exactly. By us following the steps that we spoke about here, all the different facets of Tshuva.
Thank you, Rav Nosson.
Sure.
I have a question regarding the four minim, the Dalet minim that he mentioned before, that give koach to the Yadayim. He brings Lhotzi Chitzin, Maim, Chochma, and Simcha. Can the Rav a little bit explain practically what does it mean? What is the concept behind these?
These are things that we spoke about throughout this halacha, that whenever Jews commit sins, it implies the Sitra Achra has shot its arrows, its poisonous arrows into us. That's the result of our sins. These arrows are tipped with poison, and the main poison, Rabbeinu Zal says in Likut Imran and in other places, is atzvus, depression. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, edag mechatosi, I worry from my sins. And Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal emphasized this, that one of the most severe forms of damage that's done when a person commits sins is that the person is injected with da'aga, worry, depression, sadness. So here Rav Nosson Zal points out the correspondence between each one of these four minim, how they correspond to different aspects of the tikkun that we spoke about earlier. Number one, the removal of these arrows through tshuva. Number two, mayim, the aspect of water that was mentioned earlier, that purification, v'zorakti aleichem mayim tohoirim utahartem mikol tumoseichem, that we saw that water can go either way. Water can be machshir things l'kabel tumah, water prepares things to be able to become tameh, and then all purification comes through water. The mikvah of Rosh Hashanah, the mikvah of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, etc. Then Rav Nosson Zal mentioned the hadas. He spoke about the chokhmah that the tzaddik needs to be able to understand the pulse of each and every person and thereby be able to understand, just like a doctor diagnoses a person through the pulse, and that enables, through a proper diagnosis, the doctor knows how to heal the person. So too, the tzaddik diagnoses the spiritual illness of a person through the defek, through the pulse, and with his chokhmah. Now we said that the hadasim are smell. Smell is the chiyas of neshama, and chokhmah is the chiyas of the neshama. When we put on tefillin in the morning, we say shehaneshama shebemoichi. So hachokhma techaye bo'alehu, we quoted that pasuk earlier. The chokhma which the tzaddik understands the defik of each person and thereby knows how to inject new life to them, how to cure them and heal them. And he quoted the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, samchuni bashisha. When I'm fallen, when I'm in a fallen state, I need support that comes from ashishus, tapuchin, the different things that give the person healing. And then he mentioned that the esroig represents the Shechina on the highest level. The Esrog represents the essence of Simcha, which is what again gives life, restores life to the princess, who is and the Bas Melech. We know throughout the Zohar Kodesh, the Shechina, the Bas Melech is called an Esrog. It's compared to the Esrog, about which the pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Kulach yofor ayosi umame, you are completely beautiful, you have no blemish in you. Again, that's the Esroig, which corresponds to the Bas Melech, the Shechina. So Rav Nosson Zal showed us how each one of these Dalet Minim is playing a role in the Tikkun of the Bas Melech, the healing and curing of the Bas Melech.
Thank you very much, that was a great summary.
Why does the Bas Melech represent the Shechina? Why the Bas Melech?
The term, number one, Malchus, is the symbol of the Shechina. We're told that Kaviyochel, there's the perception of Hashem on high, and there's the perception of Hashem down below on earth. The perception of Hashem down below on earth is called Shechina. It's called Malchus. It's called Bas. It's called female, generally. Now, the Zohar HaKadosh says, sometimes it's called daughter. There's a pasuk, Pischili, Achoisi, Rayosi. The Zohar HaKadosh says that sometimes the Shechina is called a wife, sometimes a sister, sometimes a daughter. Just as we mentioned in the first story of Sipur HaMaaseis, the six sons and one daughter refer to the six spheroids of Zer Anpin and the Malchus, which is called Bas Melech. This is mentioned throughout.
He's quoting Shir HaShirim when the Yachas is that we're the wife and Hashem is the husband.
True. We are called, in the Zohar HaKadosh, we are called Knesset Yisrael. The term Knesset Yisrael is used throughout the Zohar HaKadosh to refer to the Jewish nation and to refer to the Shechina. Because sometimes those two terms are used interchangeably. If you recall, we mentioned in a previous year that the word Shechina, when you write out each letter as a word, Shin, Shin Yud Nun, Chaf, Chaf Pei, and so on and so forth, the gematria is 601, Tuf Resh Aleph. The sum total of the Jewish nation is Tuf Resh Aleph, 600,000 nefoshes. And the Sifrei Kabbalah show that that's the connection between the two, that the Shechina, the term Shechina and Klal Yisrael are sometimes used interchangeably. So when we talk about the wedding, when we talk about Shavuos, Matan Torah, the wedding between Hashem and the Jewish people, B'yoyim Chasunosoi, Zu Matan Torah, it's also the union between Hashem and the Shechina, between Hashem and Klal Yisrael.
Thank you.
Sure. Touching on the tip of the surface, the more a person learns Sifrei Chassidus and Sifrei Kabbalah, there's layers and layers of clarification where these concepts are made clearer and clearer.
On the concept of the Luchot and the splitting of the male and the female, does Rabbeinu Zalman expound into these two things? You also mentioned the Yadayim and Koach and everything, and it seems to be very much related to Matan Torah for Shavuot.
Yes, yes. We know that the Luchos were also given in the hand. The Pasuk uses the word several times, in the hands. Moshe Rabbeinu held it in his hands. He threw it down with his hands. The hands are representative of everything, all facets of Kedusha, and vice versa. In Likutei Halachos, all the way towards the beginning of Likutei Halachos, in Hilchas Netilas Yodayim Leshachris, and then again in Hilchas Netilas Yodayim Lesuda, Rav Nosson Zal has maybe close to 100 pages on the topic of the hands, their role in Kedusha, and their role, and in terms of the Tumah, that when we wake up in the morning, by washing the hands, just washing the hands alone, we're removing the Tumah of the night from us to an extent that's enabling us, allowing us to be able to speak words of Kedusha. We know that when a person dips in the mikveh, when we place our entire body in the mikveh, that's another level of purification. But just washing the hands alone is a game changer, a major change from Tumah into Kedusha. And in fact, Rabbeinu Zal says in Sefer Amidos that a person who is accustomed to washing their hands frequently, that gives them purity of the heart. And this is why it's a custom in Breslov that, for example, before Bedikas Chametz, we wash our hands. Because Chametz represents the Yetzirah, the Sitra Achra, the Bedikas Chametz, and then the eventual burning of the Chametz represents getting rid of the Sitra Achra, getting rid of the Yetzirah. And we begin by washing our hands. Before candle lighting, before lighting the candles, the Hanukkah candles, it's a custom again to wash the hands. No bracha is said, of course, but washing the hands as a form of purification, preparation for Kedusha. The halacha says when a person goes to shul, when a person's washing one's hands before tefillah, it's a very, very important point.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Sure. Okay, let's continue. Paragraph Vav. Barash Hashanah b'knisasoy oimrim ledovid mizmor lashem ha'oretz umloyo tevel v'yoshveva ki hu al yamim yesoda v'al nahoroi sichoyneneho. I believe, I'm not sure whether Nusach Ashkenaz does this, but Nusach Sfard, for sure, one of the highlights of the night of Rosh Hashanah, the Ma'ariv of Rosh Hashanah, is that after Shmon Esrei, we recite Ledovid Mizmar, this chapter of Tehillim. And this chapter of Tehillim, they open the Aron Kodesh, the Sephardim, among Sephardic Jews, this is called the Psichas HaParnosa. And they sell it in some shuls, they sell it for thousands of dollars. The privilege of opening the Aron Kodesh for the recital of this Ledovid Mizmar on the night of Rosh Hashanah, which is when Hashem decrees, the Gemara says, that a person's parnosa for the entire year is determined on Rosh Hashanah. So now Rav Nosson Zal speaks about this. Lashem Horetzim Loya, the entire world belongs to Hashem, the world and everything in it, because Hashem established the world on Yamim, on oceans, Val Nahoroi Sichoineneho, and again, he established it on rivers. Shenira, Rav Nosson Zal says, it appears, Ki'ilu hu nesinas tam v'hoichocho al ma she'omar Lashem Horetzim Loya. It seems as if the second line in that chapter of Tehillim is an explanation explaining the first line. Because again, it begins with the words ki, because. You want to know why the whole world belongs to Hashem? Because Hashem established the world on water. Shvehu al pianal. This fits in beautifully with what we learned previously. Shal yedei hayud choymoy shomayim. That it's through the 10 walls of water. She'aleihem yisad ha'oretz, upon which Hashem established the world. Aydeze nizgale, through this becomes revealed, ki Lashem ha'oretzim loya, that the entire world and everything in it belongs to Hashem. Ki yud choymois shalmayim hanal, heim bechinas tzimtzumei hadas, because these 10 walls of water represent, water represents Das. We spoke about this at length before. Kimolo ha'oretz deyas Hashem kamayim layam echasim. That water is Das, it's Chochmah, it's Bina. And the walls represent the tzimtzum of the Das. Because Das alone, water alone, when it's not controlled, is a flood. It's a tsunami, it's a destructive force. But when the wall is, when the water is shaped, when it's walls of water, that represents that the Chochmah Bina Das has the proper tzimtzum to it. And when we have that, it's through this combination of the knowledge, the Das, the Chochmah Bina Das, and the Tzimtzum, the proper Tzimtzum of that Chochmah Bina Das, that's what really reveals the presence of Hashem and the kingdom of Hashem to the world. The chapter in Tehillim continues over there, Mi Yale Bahar Hashem Umi Yokum Bimkoim Kodshoi. Who will climb the mountain of Hashem and who will remain there? Who will remain on top, steadfast, in that whole, in the holy place? Rav Nosson Zal says, Miya lebahar Hashem b'chinas Rosh Hashanah. The first part of that sentence, climbing the mountain, represents Rosh Hashanah. Umi yokum b'mkoyim kotshoy. And who will be able to remain at the top, when they get to top, to hold on there and not to get knocked down, not to fall back down, that represents Yom Kippur, the culmination and the completion of the 10 days of tshuva. She'oz nichnas ha'kohen gadol lemekoyim kodshoy. The words mi yokum b'mekoyim kodshoy. Who will be able to stand in the place of holiness? This corresponds to the day of Yom Kippur, when the kohen gadol went into the ultimate place of holiness, Shehu Kodesh Kodoshim, which is the inner sanctuary of the Beis Hamikdash, Lifnai Velifnim. And then the pasuk continues, Neki Chapayim Uvar Levov. Who's going to succeed? One who has clean hands and a pure heart. Note, this is the pasuk that's related to what we spoke about earlier, what Rabbi Nizal says in Sefer Amidos, that keeping one's hands clean are what help to purify the heart. Bechinas Sukkos. Rav Nosson says this pasuk is associated with Sukkos. She'oz noitlin harbo, meaning that's when we take the four species in our hands. She'alehem nemar, and it's about those dalet minim that the pasuk says, erchatz benikoyon kapoi, I will cleanse my hands, but washing my hands to cleanse them, va'aseivavo mizbechecho, and I will go around your mizbeach. It's on Sukkos that we hold the Dalet Minim, and in the Beis Hamikdash they went around the Mizbeach. Today we go around the Bima. We make the Hakofos on each one of the days of Sukkos. On Hoshana Rabbah we go around seven times. Kemo Shadosh Rabbi Seinuzal, as our rabbis tell us, that Pasuk is referring to the Dalet Minim on Sukkos. So we see that the Neki Kapayim is associated with Sukkos, with the Dalet Minim. And now Rav Nosson Zal says, "May Rosh Hashanah nase acharkach hoshana rabba," and it's from Rosh Hashanah that we begin a process that leads up to hoshana rabba, hu gemar hachasima, and that's the completion of the seal, the double seal shehischil b'Rosh Hashanah, which began on Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is called chasima, a seal. And Hoshana Rabbah is called Choysam Betoy Choysam, a double seal. Any questions?
I just thought it was always interesting that a revelation is referred to as Gal, and a Gal is a wave also.
Yes.
But that sounds like it's a little bit contrary. There wouldn't be a Tzimtzumei Hadas, and Gal is almost like a flooding of, a wave is a flooding of water.
There's a pasuk in Tehillim, a famous pasuk, for which there's a chapter in Likutei Moran about it. The pasuk says, "Besoy galov ato teshabchein." When the waves try to lift themselves up, to try to reach up to Hashem, you, Hashem, smooth them down. So the waves, on one hand, represent that rising up, but at the same time, they're controlled. Hashem controls them using little grains of sand that Hashem is metzamtzem the ocean. This is a topic that's mentioned tens of times throughout Likutei Halachos. The yam explaining the sea and all facets of the seas and the boundaries that contain them.
So I guess the chol really is the ultimate level of fragmentation. That would be the ultimate symptom, because chol is separated, and also from the word chulin.
Yes.
Rav Nelson, yesterday you spoke about, since we're talking about the arba minim, they need to be brought together, but there's kosher chach that kind of keep them separate as well. Can
yes.
you clarify separate and together?
Yes, this is a concept that appears in many places in Yiddishkeit. We know that there's a concept of achdus in Klal Yisrael, of unity, but there's also a concept of boundaries. There's a concept of hezek re'iya. I'm not allowed to look into somebody else's field. We put up fences and boundaries around our properties in order to prevent any damage from somebody looking into my property, that kind of thing. Persons say, well, that's the antithesis of Achdus. What do you mean? We're all one. You know, and again, there were people, communism, socialism, we're all partners. The kibbutz, the original thought, the kibbutzim, when they first founded them, no parents, no boundaries, it's all oneness. We know that that leads to anarchy and chaos and destruction. So there is a concept of Achdus, which is extremely important, being close together, but at the same time respecting boundaries. And again, Rav Nelson Zal speaks about this in many places in Likutei Halachos, especially in Hilchos Sefer Torah, where we speak about, again, how we write the letters, and if there's any distance between two letters that's more than it's supposed to be, that can passel a Sefer Torah, and at the same time, if two letters are touching, that also makes the Sefer Torah passel. There's got to be unity, and at the same time, boundaries. We know between husband and wife, it's an incredible example of achdus, unity, oneness. And at the same time, there's a time for union and there's a time for separation. You know, and both are needed and defined by the Torah, all defined by the boundaries that the Torah gives us.
So how does that play out with the Arba Minim here?
The Arba Minim represent the name of Hashem, the letters that they correspond to, the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is important. A person is not supposed to separate those letters, and yet they're not allowed to be touching either. So we put them together, we hold them when we make the bracha, when we do the nanum during the challah, we're holding them together and we're holding our hands together. And yet they're not touch. Those that have the custom of the koishikol, they're not touching. They're still not touching. They're very close together, but not touching each other.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
I just wanted to ask, in terms of avoda, you know, we were talking a lot about mishalim in terms of what, you know, kulam b'chachma asisa, what the ocean, the lulav all represents in terms of our avoda with Hashem, and how the same anatomical structure, so to speak. Do we look at a lulav, or are we supposed to look at an ocean and try to connect to these ideas through that, or is it supposed to be a springboard to understand, you know, the higher part to connect to that? It's, are we supposed to draw that energy out from when I look at an ocean to when I look at a lulav, or is it supposed to redirect my mind to something higher, which we're talking about?
It's both. The Likutei Moran begins, the opening paragraph of the Likutei Moran begins by saying that a Jew has to look for the chachma and the seichel in everything, and to connect to the chachma and seichel and everything, and to use that to bring me close to Hashem, to connect with Hashem. So a Jew is trying, let's say we know that the Torah teaches us that if a person has not seen the ocean for 30 days, there's a bracha that you make. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam. That we're connecting everything to Hashem. We're always trying to see, to use everything as a means of remembering Hashem and giving us a higher perception of Hashem's greatness. And the Torah in general is teaching us that, but especially Sifrei Chassidus and Sifrei Kabbalah take it to another level completely of showing us the depth. What does water represent? What does fire represent? What if all these different things, so that a person who has that knowledge, even without taking it to the furthest levels, because Rabbi Nachman did not want his students to daven with the kavonas of the Arizal, with Kabbalistic thoughts. He wanted us to daven with simplicity, focusing on Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid and Perush Hamilois. However, However, and this is something that my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld mentioned many times, the more a person knows these things, the more a person has this knowledge, it elevates the level of their mitzvah when they perform the mitzvah with some of the feelings and some of the knowledge that we've learned about these mitzvahs. It elevates the mitzvah to a much higher level. And yet, those that do not have this knowledge at all, we believe, be'emunah shleima, that by performing the mitzvah within the boundaries of halacha, by doing performing the mitzvah properly al pi halacha, all of these tikkunim are taking place automatically to a certain degree, on a certain level. The more a person knows, the more it elevates the level, it takes it to a higher level.
When they say, look at Techeles, and it's supposed to remind you of the Rekia, and Hashem's above you, so that's like taking you through a Zichron cycle.
Exactly.
Versus, I'm looking at something, and I'm trying to draw the Elokus in that thing into myself. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. I'm trying to connect Hashem through that. Rabbi Nachman was once holding a piece of matzah in his hands, and he said, I'm holding Hashem, I have Elokus in my hand. Because again, the Zohar HaKodesh and the Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Hasidus show how each mitzvah, the word mitzvah, is Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Mem in Atbash becomes a Yud, the Tzadik in Atbash becomes a Hey. So every mitzvah is a manifestation of Hashem. When I'm performing a mitzvah, I'm connecting with Hashem through that mitzvah, whether it's tzitzis or tefillin, and the Sifrei Chassidus give us a much clearer and deeper insight of exactly how that works. Let's continue, please. Sure. Now Rav Nosson Zal gives us short excerpts from the Tikkuni Zohar of things that are related to what we've learned. In Tikkun Gimel in the Tikkuni Zohar, it says there, Man de Kotel Lahahu Chivya, one who succeeds in killing that snake, which refers to the Satan, Vechulu, etc., Yehovenle Brata de Malko. They give him the princess. He is given the Bas Melech, the princess, De Ihu Tzloisa, which is Tfila. Rav Nosson Zal says, Bechinas Bas Melech Shel Hamaisanal. This is the princess in that story in Sipure Maisius, which is the Shechina, the Malchus, the Bas Melech, which is Tfila. We know that Dovid HaMelech is the one who said, Va'ani Tfila, showing us that Malchus is associated with Tfila. Now, in Tikkun Chof Aleph, it says there, it mentions the Shofar there, Va'oid Shofar, and the Zohar HaKadosh says there, Bahahu Zimna, at that time when the Shofar is being blown, Salka Tzloisa Binegina. Our prayers go up with a song, Be'arbo Minin, with four types. De'inun Shir Poshut Kofel Meshulash Ravua, Ayin Shom. We know that the Shofar has 10, we usually refer to the 10 sounds of the Shofar, which are Tkia Shvarim Tkia, Tkia Trua Tkia, Tkia Shvarim Trua Tkia. That's a complete set. It's 10 sounds, and we're told that this corresponds to the 10 types of song. The Asora Mine Negina, the sound of the Shofar, is actually, on a spiritual level, a song to Hashem. It's Koilo the Asora Mine Negina. This is also why the pasuk that we say right before the Shofar is blown, Ashrei Ha'om Yoidei Serua, fortunate is the nation who knows the Trua, the sound of the Shofar. The Zohar Kodesh says that the word Yoidei is Bigematria 100, referring to the 100 sounds of the Shofar, which is 10 times 10. It's the 10 types of song, and each one of them contains all 10 of them. Those are the 100 sounds of the Shofar. And these 10 correspond, everything connects back to Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei. We know that Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei has four letters, which correspond to this term, Shir Poshut Kofel Meshulash and Ribua. This is something that's discussed in the Zohar HaKodesh many times, that there's a concept of a song which is single, double, triple, and quadruple. Which means, again, if we take Hashem's name, Yud, then Yud, first one letter, then we take two letters, Yud, Hey, then we take three letters, Yud, Hey, Vav, and then we take all four letters, Yud, K, Vav, K, it adds up to 72. And the Gemara mentions a kinoir shel ayin beis nimen, a harp of 72 strings, which will be played when Mashiach comes. The number 72 is chesed. There's a pasuk, oilam chesed yibone. The world will be built with chesed, with kindness. Again, this song. Now remember, it started off with four letters, the four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's this pashut, kafel, meshulash, rebuah. And it extends, it branches out to the 10, to the 10 sounds of the shofar. Ayin Shom, look over there in the Tikkuni Zohar, where it expounds on this much more. Now, Rav Nosson Zal quotes a famous pasuk in Eicha, which the Zohar HaKadosh speaks about often. When we say, Mo a'idoch, mo a'idech, mo adamaloch, mo eseloch v'anachamech. Hashem says to the Jewish people, what can I do for you to console you in this state of destruction when the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed and Yerushalayim has been destroyed and so many Jews have died? Godol kayom shivrech. Your destruction, the destruction is as massive as the sea. Note it's compared to the Yam. Mi yirpaloch. Who will heal you? Now the term mi, the Isa, the Tikkun Ezra says, Shebechinas mi yirpalach, hainu bechinas aye, shehu bechinas mi, bechinas sosum venelam. We mentioned this in the past as we were learning this halacha and previous halachas, that keser and bina are very often very much connected and sometimes used interchangeably in a sense. So that the number 50, which is usually associated with Bina, the 50 levels of Bina, Nun Share Bina and Nun Share Tshuva, is also associated with Keser. So this term, when it says, Mi Yirpalach, who will heal you? The Pasuk is alluding to the fact that the Refuah has to come from on high. It has to come from Bina, from Keser, which is called Mi, which is Ayeh. Bechinas sosum venelam, which is very closed and hidden, al yidei ze ikar harefuah. And it's through this that the main refuah will come about. In the Machzor of Yom Kippur, again, probably those that daven Nusach Sfard, those that have daven Nusach Ashkenaz might have it also. We know that we start off Yom Kippur with the prayer of Kol Nidre, annulling vows. And a person would say, well, what does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with tshuva? And the answer is that, again, in the Sifrei Kabbalah, in Sifrei Hasidus, especially in Likutei Halachos, there are pages and pages expounding on this, that the tshuva is associated, the word neder is nun doer, 50th generation, referring to Yovel, the Jubilee, which begins on Yom Kippur. They sound the shofar on Yom Kippur, heralding the Yovel, the 50th year, the Jubilee, which is the year, which is freedom. Yovel represents freedom when all slaves go free, all properties return to their original owners, which is this concept of Bina Keser, this concept of this very, very high place where everything gets resolved, everything gets corrected. This Mi Yirpalach. And that's one of the reasons why we begin the Yom Kippur service with this special tefillah of Kol Nidre. And in most Mazoirim, they quote a beautiful piece from the Tikkuni Zohar. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai stood up, he lifted up his hands towards heaven, and he praised Hashem. And he said, Master of the world, please do what needs to be done to help the Shekhinah, which is in exile. And if the Shekhinah is in a state where it's been sworn, where you, Hashem, swore that we're going to be in exile, that when we commit sins, we do terrible things, we're going to be in exile, so what? Ho'abav, father and mother, which are Chochma and Bina, have the ability to do Hatoras Neder, to release the Shekhinah from this vow. As it says in a pasuk, Hashem tzevokois yo'atz umi yofer. Hashem has made a decision, and who can nullify it? Me yofer. Me has the power to nullify it. So again, Chochmah and Bina are on a high enough level that if we could draw light from there, that could nullify any vow that Hashem made for the Shekhinah and the Jewish people to be in exile. And then it says, if a student makes a vow, the rabbi can be mater the neder. And if a son made a vow, a neder or shvuah, which is the vav of Yudke Vavke, which corresponds to the sons, that the Shekhinah should not be released, it should be in Golis until a set time. He says, so what? Neder and Shavuah are in Chochmah and Bina, in Yud Kei, and Hashem on that high level definitely regrets this state of affairs where the Jewish people, the Shekhinah is in Golis. And then he goes on to say that we know that a combination of three people, a bezin of three people, can be matir any neder. And that, so we have, therefore, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov above, they can annul the neder. And if not, and if you don't regret Kaviyochel Hashem, I beg of you, I plead with you, and from all those in the Mesifta De'ela, the yeshiva in heaven and above, that you should forgive the Jewish people for the sake of the Raya Mehemna, the worthy shepherd, Moshe Rabbeinu, who never left the Shekhinah. He never parted ways with the Shekhinah whatsoever. And he rises up to the highest levels between Hashem and the Shekhinah to unite them many times. And he was willing to show Mesiras Nefesh, to put his life on the line for the sake of the Shekhinah and her children. And he goes on to say a beautiful continuing, I don't want to do the whole thing, but those of you, if you'll have a chance, you'll take a look at this. It's a fabulous fact. And then he goes on to say, and if this won't work, and if the neder came from Abba and Ima, from Chochmah and Bina, then Rabbi Shimon says, I will go up to the place about which it says, Ki pole mimcha davar, meaning I will go up to the keser, which is called Pele, about which it says, B'mufla mimcha al tidroish, in order to annul this vow. And he goes on, it's a spectacular piece in the Zohar Kodesh explaining this concept of the vow and the releasing from the vow. Any questions before we close? Okay, so that was to explain the mi yirpalach, that when we want to erase sins, when we want to eliminate this separation between Hashem and the Jews, Hashem and the Shekhinah, the higher up we can go on the ladder, the more we're able to draw a power of light, a power of kindness that has the ability to override and negate and annul and erase any blemishes, any sins, and anything that causes a separation between Hashem and the Jewish people or Hashem and the Shekhinah.
Rav Nosson, Yasher Koach, I have one question. Rabbi Nizal is constantly referring to waters that are contained and so forth. He must mention at some point, Maim Dukrin, Maim Dukvim, with everything that you've just stated.
Definitely. Those terms are mentioned in many, many chapters in Likut Imran and throughout these teachings. The concept that in order for there to be a union between Hashem and the Shekhinah, between male and female, it requires a preparation. The preparation requires waters coming from the female and the male in order to lead up to this union, this ultimate union. And the Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Hasidus give many examples of what generates the Mayan Nukvin, what generates the Mayan Dukhrin. We're going to have that. We're going to have that in many places in Likutei Halachos. Sure. Okay, wonderful day. We didn't get to finish yet. Mirtz Hashem, maybe the next shir. All the best.
Thank you. All the best.
Sure. One last thing, though. Ashrei Mi Metaris comes the same minion as Mi Yirpa?
Definitely. Mi Metahir Eschem, that it's the level of Mi that does the purification. Definitely.
Thank you, Rebbe.
Sure. All the best. A wonderful day, a wonderful week.
Thank you.